648 1320 WILS. So yesterday, I actually walked into a gym and almost signed up, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to begin to exercise. And when I think about exercising, the man I think about is Warren Honeycutt. He's in his 60s. He is a bodybuilding champion, an author, a speaker. His book is Get Lean for Life. And find him at gethoneycutt.com. Warren, great to have you on WILS.
Always great to be with you, Mike. Good to be back.
You get on YouTube.
Hope you're having a good day.
It's not bad, but you get on YouTube, there are these 20-year-olds trying to tell you about staying fit, and I think to myself, what do they really know about a guy in his 40s, you know? So, hey, go ahead. What kind of perspective does it give you to be in your 60s and to understand health?
Well, it actually, Mike, it's great to be in good shape, and it's great to be in perfect health, and certainly that is worth the years of training and, the lifestyle. But at the end of the day, too, when you feel good and you're enthusiastic and you think good and you sleep good, all of a sudden, you wake up one day and go, this is the way to live a life. And that's, something that, oh, dear, it's been kind of an epiphany for me ever since I was maybe 50. Because most people, as you know, Mike, and all of us know, if you look around, I mean, there's people in their 40s that have pretty much given up walking.
Well, I should say, Warren, I sort of gave up. I mean, I'll give you my stats. I'm like 5'11", about 175. Does that sound relatively okay? Or?
Yeah, it does.
It's not bad, right?
But not at all.
Here's my issue, Warren. The muscle tone is very lacking. So I've decided I'm going to start lifting. I think I need to go get into a gym. My first question is, typically, is that a good? Is a gym? Is that going to stick? Is that a good idea to pursue then?
Depends on the person, and the reason for it is this, Mike. A lot of people are intimidated to go to a gym where people, a lot of them are in shape and they know what they're doing, and they feel intimidated by the company. Mm-hmm. If that is not an issue, and in my mind, it should not be an issue. But if that is not an issue, and what I encourage people to do, especially if they're prone to go to a gym. Number one, gyms give you a place and a purpose. Mm-hmm. And the biggest rep that one will do as a member of a gym is get in the car and show up on the parking lot. Once that's done, then you're there and you go, okay, I'm going to do what I need to do.
You just have to get up and get there. And if I haven't really been working out seriously for decades, really, how long before I really can build up a decent physique?
Well, the thing I would encourage you to do, Mike, is to get with someone. As a matter of fact, I'll help you if you want to, put you on a program that for the first 3 to 4 weeks, mm-hmm. what you're really doing is getting the muscles and the ligaments and tendons acclimated to movement. And a lot of people make a big mistake, and that is, well, I did this when I was, in college, and I'm, go right back into it, and they end up injuring themselves, hurting themselves in a very serious way.
Right. And you're talking about injuring the joints and the tendons? Is that where it happens?
Joints, backs, necks, rotator cuffs.
And they're just lifting too much weight initially, is that it?
Yes, and going too hard.
Okay.
The first 3 or 4 weeks should be relatively easy,
okay.
And should not be over 3 days a week.
But should there be some physical pain initially? I mean, should you expect that if you haven't been active that way?
Well, fatigue is a better word in my mind for doing it right, Mike. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't feel any pain, not for the first 3 or 4 weeks.
Really? So even like the day after a workout, you shouldn't have some soreness in your muscles?
You will have soreness.
Okay.
What I'm talking about is going intense enough in the gym that you have physical pain while you're doing the movements.
Okay. That sounds like a problem. But Warren Honeycutt with us. We're talking about a health expert, a bodybuilding champion. His book is Get Lean for Life, and he's online at gethoneycutt.com. And so, let me ask you this. In terms of, I think that's great advice to get to. Once you get in the car, you get to the gym, you're there. Am I better off paying twice as much as I have an option to and have a gym I can basically walk to versus paying half the amount and having to drive to a gym?
That's all a personal situation, Mike. What I would do is get the closest one to me. And the reason for it is this. I encourage people, especially that work like you and I do, to do it before or after work on your way to work or home. That way you don't have to go home, sit down,
and make an extra trip. Makes absolute sense. I'm taking that advice immediately. The issue of recovery, you're in your 40s or 50s and you're getting in there, how much time do you really need to recover from a workout?
2 days, typically.
Two days of not exercising that particular muscle group, you're saying?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And now if you try to go every day, well, I mean, what's going to happen if you try to stack it up too fast?
Well, you're probably going to get discouraged because you'll get into a fatigue, and you certainly can get to a point where you train 4, 5, 6 days a week, and I still do, Mike, yeah. But obviously I've been at this thing for a long, long time. And what I encourage people to do, especially with resistance training, and studies show, miles long, that 2 to 3 days of resistance training, you have all kind of benefit. Muscle tone, shape, blood pressure comes down,
yeah.
Bad cholesterol comes down, blood sugar comes down, and you feel better, you sleep better. And that's 2 to 3 days a week, 30 minutes at a session.
Just like that. That's not a lot of time at all. The other thing doing, Warren, I've got my Fitbit on. I've got it on right now. I'll say my heart rate is 73 at the moment. But here's the thing I've noticed with a Fitbit. I'm walking around. I can get it up if I'm walking fast. But the little bit of resistance training doesn't seem to jack up the heart rate dramatically. Is that how important is that at my age to be focused on the heart rate?
Well, you want to be focused on it and concerned, but do it in the right way, Mike, because cardiovascular health is just paramount in regard to overall health.
Okay.
And when I will say this, when you do the resistance training in the proper way, you certainly can increase your heart rate and get it
and bring it up.
As high as you want it.
Is it okay to really limit the cardio? Not maybe do it for just a couple of minutes and then focus on the weights? Or
well, I like to have people that I work with do both because. Okay. As great as the resistance training is, it doesn't do a complete job with the respiratory system and the cardiovascular.
So how much time do you need to really do cardio, would you say?
No more than 20 minutes, 3 days a week.
Okay, so you start with 20 minutes. So would you do cardio and then go to the weights? Is that what a session would be?
Well, if your goal is to be able to drop some body fat, it's better to do the resistance first and deplete the glycogen. And what that means is you get into the fat burning from the moment you start your cardio.
Uh-huh.
And that's something most people
and then,
do it in
and
reverse.
Then do the cardio. And I hear about these the things where you do very intense for a minute and then real easy for a minute, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
What is it called? Intermittent? I forget what it's called exactly. What is that?
It's called HIIT, H-I-I-T, Mike, and that is high. Interval.
It's like high intensity training, essentially, right?
Yes.
Is that the cutting edge? I mean, is that how we should be doing our cardio?
Need to mix that with lower impact, and I do the HIIT 2 or 3 times a week, but also do just the slower, lower resistance or the low impact cardio as well.
Now, do you use a Fitbit or some kind of heart monitor of some kind?
All I do, and I've gotten to the point through the years that I can, take a 10-second reading of my heart with a stopwatch that I keep on my wrist, and I know exactly where I need to be.
Okay.
But Fitbit's great for monitoring the heart rate.
How high, Warren, do you get your heart rate, though, when you're working out?
When you really get into the program, and I'm talking about, after several weeks, Mike, and you actually can do high-intensity interval training, which is the HIIT.
Uh-huh.
It needs to be at 85 to 90% of your maximum at the highest,
okay.
And then drop it back down to 60 to 65%.
So what would that be that we're talking maximum? What, 140, 150 beats a minute, or what is that?
Well, it depends on your age, but what you do, and we can do it right now if we can take 15 seconds, take your age, Mike, and or take the number, I'm sorry, 220, and subtract your age.
Okay.
And then multiply it times 0.85.
I can't do that all on the air, but okay, that's the number. 220, yeah. 220 minus your age multiplied by what?
0.85.
85, and that should be your, and what's, how about you? What is your maximum heart rate?
About 160.
160, okay.
Uh-huh.
Does that feel good when you're up there?
Well, it hurts at that point. And I don't go to the total max 160, but I put it up to about 150 when I'm doing it.
I'm going to have to go there. But you say about a month of conditioning. Don't jump in, right? 3 to 4 weeks?
No, please.
Yeah,
please don't.
Slow and easy. Warren Honeycutt, the book is Get Lean for Life. The website to find Warren is gethoneycutt.com, a man that's spent his whole life down in his 60s, the body of a 30-year-old, a man that understands everything about health and your muscles and your body. Warren, great to have you on WILS. Thank you very much.
Always great to be with you, Mike. Thank you. Good evening.
That wraps it up for us. We're back tomorrow at 6 p.m. Good night.
Mid-Michigan's more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, Lansing, and worldwide at 1320WILS.com.